Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the book of Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The book of Acts is about the formation of the church. It is thought to be written by the same author as the Gospel of Luke. And in this story, the Holy Spirit interrupts Peter's preaching as the gospel is carried out to the Gentile world. And now the Gentile, if you don't know, is anybody who's not Jewish. That would be most of us. Every single person in the world who was not Jewish was considered a Gentile. And all the Jews, the circumcised, for that was the distinction that they had, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. What many of us don't realize if we just pluck a piece of scripture out is what comes before this scripture. This story follows another story in Acts where Peter has a vision while he is in a trance. Peter went up on the roof to pray and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. And in it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. And then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." And the voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane. You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean." Peter is having one dilemma after another. He himself is a circumcised Jew, a chosen of God, a disciple plucked from the sea by Jesus himself, who is now being asked to eat foods he thought were unclean with people he thought were unclean. All the laws that are listed in Leviticus, the Levitical codes, are being changed and challenged by God through the Holy Spirit. And Peter is greatly puzzled about the change, but he's beginning to understand that the gospel of inclusion and hospitality is for the stranger. He is beginning to understand that the mission of the church includes the stranger, the outsider, the Gentile. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. As I get closer to my time ending with you, I get to the point where I think I should just be able to say whatever I want. Not that I haven't, but whenever I get around the scriptures, I always have these sort of visceral reactions about what I would really like to say. And then I remind myself that it isn't about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. So I don't always give you a sermon on the gospel according to Betty, though I admit there's always some in there. But I do try to reflect honestly always about what the scripture is saying to us, all of us, in this time and this place. On May 17th, we will celebrate the 2-year anniversary of our vote to become a reconciling congregation.
3-year anniversary.
Amen. Pardon me?
It's the 3-year.
3-year anniversary. Time flies. 3-year, and I knew that. And when we voted, what we said to the church universal, what God has created, what God has blessed, what God has made clean, we will not call profane. We voted to take down one more artificial boundary, to widen the circle and to keep widening the circle to the point that we show the world that the assumed boundaries are no longer legitimate here at Highlands United Methodist Church. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we have seen the world and our church try to wear us down on the issue of inclusion and hospitality. Certainly, all of the press around civil unions, having it stall out without even a debate, regardless of the side you're on, says that it doesn't get a fair hearing. And it's like our hopes fade away for a little while, that the fight is not over. Though God has said to many of us what God has created, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. We are still not of one mind. Our general conference ended about a week ago, and at our general conference of the United Methodist Church, where we meet every 4 years, all the issues of inclusion got debated and debated and debated. And we are still not of one mind. In fact, there is a great irony in the votes that were taken, because there was one statement that was trying to be adopted that said we are not all of one mind on the issue of homosexuality. And the people who had the majority voted down. Now, is there some irony in the fact that 60% of the people can tell the 40% you are of one mind? Even though we were just trying to get one statement that said, as a church, we are not of all one mind. It is sad. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water from these people? Can anyone withhold water from these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Can anyone withhold the water? Can anyone withhold marriage? Can anyone withhold ordination? Can anyone withhold membership? Or can anyone say, 'You are not welcome at Christ's table'? When will all mean all?" Jesus asks, when will all mean all? In these two stories, we find the extravagance of the Holy Spirit and the wideness of God's grace. We are shown through Peter's journey that the Holy Spirit is not bound by the limitations that even faithful believers have. The Holy Spirit is not only poured out on the Gentiles, it is also given to the Jewish Christians so that they may see the world with new eyes, so they may capture a new vision of the kingdom of God, God's holy and sanctified dream for this world. So the question for all of us after we hear the news of General Conference is, why do we stay? And I cannot answer for you. I can only tell you why I stay. Because I will not turn the church over to those who do not have a vision of full inclusion of all people. A church where there are still boundaries of racism and sexism and classism and ageism and nationalism and heterosexism and any other prejudice that keeps us fulfilling our call as disciples of Jesus Christ, who said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, your soul, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. As yourself. And the reason I stay is because I cannot do this alone. I need a community of believers, a place that acknowledges the work of the Spirit. And I believe with all my heart that God is moving the church, that God has always moved the church despite us. Peter was given a vision so he could see the world differently. Who among us are seeing a vision of the expanding scope of God's grace? How many of us, our hearts are open? Are there voices from the margins that have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the Word of God in ways that challenge the boundaries of even the church? Or I should say, especially the church. Will the church be the astonished, circumcised ones who are surprised by the Holy Spirit and what it is doing in this time and place? I want to tell you that Pastor Carey is very committed to the issue of inclusion, and so is Pastor Brad. Your work is not done. But as our time together ends, my prayer is that all of you individually will hear the voice of God, the young who have visions and the old who dream dreams, that all of you will be empowered to speak truth, share your visions, and tell of your dreams for Christ's church and God's glorious creation. Do not give up. Do not give up even on the United Methodist Church. Work for justice and inclusion. Work for the kingdom of God here at this glorious Highlands United Methodist Church. Amen.